Now, Sandy.
In the shed, there was a sallow flash, so pale it was almost lilac. It was followed by darkness, then another flash, then more darkness. Darkness this time unbroken. "Is it done?" Huddy asked, then answered his own question. "Yeah, I think it is." Ned ignored this. "What?" he asked me. "What did he say then?" "What any man says when things are all right at home," I told him. "He said he was a lucky man." Steph had gone away to mind her microphone and computer screen, but the others were still here. Ned took no notice of any of them. His puffy red-lidded eyes never left me. "Did he say anything else?" "Said you hit 2 homers against the Roxburgh Railroad the week before, and that you gave him a wave after the second one while you were coming around third. He liked that. Laughed telling me about it. He said you saw the ball better on your worst day than he ever had on his best. He also said you needed to start charging ground balls if you were serious about playing third base." The boy looked down and began to struggle. We looked away, all of us, to let him do it in reasonable privacy. At last, he said, "He told me not to be a quitter. But that's what he did with that car. That fucking 8. He quit on it." I said, "He made a choice. There's a difference." He sat, considering this, then nodded. "All right." Archie said, "This time I'm really going home." But before he went, he did something I'll never forget. He leaned over and put a kiss on Ned's swollen cheek. I was shocked by the tenderness of it. "Good night, lad." "Good night, Archie." We watched him drive away in his rattletrap pickup, and then Huddy said, "I'll drive Ned home in his Chevy. Who wants to follow along and bring me back here to get my car?" "I will," Ed said. "Only I'm waiting outside when you take him in. If Michelle Wilcox goes nuclear, I want to be outside the fallout zone." "It'll be okay," Ned told him. "I'll say I saw the can on the shelf and picked it up to see what it was and maced my stupid self." I liked it. It had the virtue of simplicity. It was exactly the sort of story the boy's father would have told. Ned sighed. "Tomorrow bright and early I'll be sitting in the optometrist chair over at Statler Village. That's the downside." "Won't hurt you," Shirley said. She also kissed him, planting hers on the corner of his mouth. "Good night, boys. This time everyone goes and no one comes back."
"Amen to that," Huddy said, and we watched her walk away.
She was 45 or so, but there was still plenty to look at when she put her backfield in motion, even by moonlight. Especially by moonlight. Off she went, driving past us, a quick flick of right back at you and then nothing but the taillights. Darkness from Shed B. No taillights there. No fireworks either. It was over for the night, and someday it would be over for good. But not yet. I could still feel the sleepy beat of it far down in my mind. A tidal whisper that could be words if you wanted them to be. What I'd seen. What I'd seen when I had the boy hugged in my arms. Him blinded by the spray.
"You want to ride along, Sandy?" Huddy asked. "Nah, I guess not. I'll sit here a while longer, then get on home. If there are any problems with Michelle, you have her call me. Here or at the house, makes no difference."
"There won't be any problems with Mom," Ned said.
"What about you?" I asked.
"There going to be any more problems with you?" He hesitated, then said, "I don't know."